You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.
We are OK Boomer, and Victoria Greenwood is back in the house after her three-week vacation.
That's
before
true.
We get to that, thank you, Pineapple Hill Saloon, Angela Marsden, for being our official sponsor. They're over on Moore Park and Van Nuys Boulevard behind In-N-Out Burger. Victoria, so happy to have you back. For
thank
3 weeks, I had to have Kai guess. Kai, why are you here?
I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. You were here for just 3 weeks. You don't come every week. This isn't your spot.
I mean, I appreciate it. I need
You act as if I was the one who promulgated it.
I needed a sub. I needed someone to tag out.
So, Victoria, tell everybody, where have you been for the last 3 weeks?
I mean, it's not exciting. It's not like I was in one place for 3 weeks.
It's not exciting? You were in a Queensryche video.
Well, it wasn't a Queensryche video. It's technically, I did sign an NDA about it, by the way. There's a member from Queensryche,
okay,
and it's his side band with someone else. It's three-part thing, so it's multiple.
That's all
yes.
we had to say. It's three-part thing,
it.
But you were working
but
on
that's one thing, yes.
That's not exciting?
I guess that is exciting. And then
You were yelling up and down when you got
it. I know. It's very cool. But it's not all one thing. It was like I was in a bachelorette party.
That wasn't fun?
It was a lot of fun. my life is great. Don't get me wrong. I downplay it just for my own ego, I think. And then the other thing was my aunt's wedding in the middle of nowhere.
Where you were panning for gold.
I panned for gold, yes, because I believe in history.
Where is the middle of nowhere?
Redding, California, where they got a Starbucks and their CVS, and that's a really big deal.
When you come out of somewhere, Kai, you make a left at nowhere.
Been to Redding, California.
I like it a lot because it's a very humbling experience, although there's not much to do, and it takes like an hour to get down the hill. So, you know. And it was very hot. It was the craziest heat wave they've had in 100 years. So it was 115.
So how is the relationship to you for the wedding? First cousin, second cousin?
No, it's my mom's sister. It's technically my mom's half-sister, but yeah.
That's your aunt? Okay.
Yeah, it's my aunt.
Okay.
And then my grandma was there. My cousins were all there. My mom's cousins were all there. So it was a lot of people. A lot of people. And then my aunt's idea was she'd have this wedding. She's like a country person and she's awesome and, you know, rides motorcycles and doesn't wear that much makeup, was to go camping right after. So it was like, we're going to camp as a family, which we've never really done. And I think there's a very strong reason for that. And it was 115, which meant,
oh my God.
And it was stagnant, stale, like air, high elevation. So I was in a tent, which just felt like my plastic coffin. In the 115 heat where I had heat stroke.
Did you get heat stroke?
Yeah, I got heat stroke and I had an asthma attack.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I fainted like in her arms and
yeah, you said nothing happened for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing with the heat stroke was like I kept trying to not tell anyone about it, like because I couldn't see straight. It felt like I was drunk. It was like, and I vomited and it was just like a whole thing. And
Hey Kai, we get heat stroke every Saturday.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't want to tell anyone.
It might be more heat exhaustion.
Yeah, there you go.
It's heat something or other, I can tell you that.
I definitely didn't want to tell anyone. And my family, my aunt's family and all of her friends were like they're like bikers. So they're all like rugged outdoors people, insanely like tough, right? So I'm like, of course, the person from LA is going to have heat stroke. So I don't want to say anything because I don't want to think like I'm a little bitch or anything. So I'm like, I'm just not going to say anything. And then my aunt looks at me and she goes, are you okay? And I'm like, I don't know. And I like faint. And she like catches me. And she's like, go lay in my RV. And I start crying. I'm like, I don't want everyone to think I'm a bitch. She's just go lay down. I'm like, okay. So that's what happened.
How did the boys raised on TV hang out with those rough and tumble kids?
Oh, they love them. But they had like Keaton, every time Keaton's anywhere, they somehow produce a guitar and they like make him perform. So I kind of feel bad about that. He's like the monkey.
He's a trained monkey.
Literally. It'll be like he was supposed to perform two songs and then he's like ends up doing like all of like the Beatles covers. Like he's just like, thanks, Keaton.
Does he know all the Beatles covers?
He knows all. My family's a huge Beatles fan.
What?
Like huge. My dad. It's my dad. But they're like there's heavy influences of the Beatles in Raised on TV if you listen.
That's pretty. I have to go back and and listen, because now I'm even more impressed with your brothers, because they're one's younger than you, one's older than you, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so that means the youngest one is probably in his 27, 28. The oldest one can't be more than 34.
Yes.
For them to have a Beatle anthology memory.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. It was funny because Keaton couldn't remember. I kept trying to get him to do Travis Creep songs, which is our country parody band. And he couldn't remember any of those songs, but he can like pull out like 10 Beatles songs. I'm like, you jerk. Like, remember your own music better.
So, but, yeah. Your dad was a Beatles fan?
Yeah, my dad is a huge Beatles fan. My grandmother actually, she was pretty crazy. She was friends with John Lennon. So there was a moment in time when my dad was a little kid and he had to live in London, where he actually lived with John Lennon and Yoko and my grandma.
God, how did
and they partied.
He suffered so much, your poor dad.
And my mom are like, the most interesting people. I mean, he says this really cool story, which is just like he remembers being a little kid and going into John Lennon's bathroom. And his toilet bowl, like inside, was his mouth open. Like, so you had to pee in his mouth. And then all the toilet paper had him and Yoko's faces on it. And that's like what he remembers as like a 7-year-old.
This is beginning to make no sense whatsoever.
That's the Beatles for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
They don't take themselves seriously.
A lot of London in your life, but we'll leave that for another day.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Ralph. NDA. NDA, so, Ralph.
Another NDA. All of these NDAs flying around. Okay,
yeah,
boomer.
I'm going to make you sign some.
Hey, so, and if you didn't, you didn't. But did you check out any of our shows while you were gone?
I did. I honestly haven't even had a chance to watch television.
Okay.
I just started, like, posting some things on social media because I've like haven't even really been I've been so busy. It's been hard because the moment I got back to I had like a billion auditions, which is great.
Well, now we got a mask mandate, so he'll be doing those with a mask. By the way, and I don't want Kai to sit here like a total dummy the whole show. Kai did a yeoman's job filling in for the last 3 weeks. He added content. He knew when to listen. He knew when to shut up. He knew when to interject his vast knowledge of his big brain.
Yeah.
It was a pleasure the last 3 weeks.
I mean. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
I think there's
awesome,
a compliment
Kai.
In there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Hey, yeah. I feel like it's just hanging out with Kai is that in general. So.
Yeah, no, we had a couple of interesting guests while you were gone. We even got drunk last week on the show.
I did hear about that. I hope that's not too crazy for you guys or anything.
No, but you missed Angela Marsden.
I did. I do feel I did miss that a lot.
Yeah, she was good. We'll bring her back. Angela is still, her lawsuit got dismissed against the governor because they changed judges, and the new judge says, you know what, this doesn't have any merit.
Oh, wow.
So they're going to try to judge shop again and start that. But she is still plugging forward with the Pineapple Hill Saloon. It is fully open inside and out. She's just having trouble finding people to work for her.
That's crazy.
You know, and you know this.
I was like, I should go. I was like, sorry where I currently work. See you guys later.
Well, you hire people.
And I do. It's the worst right now.
Angela told me a story a couple of days ago. I was up at the Pineapple Hill Saloon and she was interviewing for bartenders. The shift is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights. Good shift to have.
Yeah.
And so she was interviewing this bartender. She says, well, we need you for Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. He says, is that every Friday night?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's like yeah. Come on.
I mean, that's been the problem I have. I've been having issues with Saturdays. No one wants to work Saturday. Not necessarily the people that I interview, but it'll be like the people that I interview when they get hired, all of a sudden their availability changes and they can work like once or twice. And I'm like, how do you support yourself and survive?
That, you know what? That is a great question. And we can get into the unemployment benefits, but there's a lot going on in this world that I have no knowledge of. And I've always said this about Los Angeles, by the way. I've had friends, my full 30 years in Los Angeles, I have no idea how they make a living and how they survive. I just not even a clue.
Yeah, I mean, where I work, it's a little different. I feel like there's been their supplemental income is other people.
Well, they're women.
Yeah.
And I kind of get that.
Yeah.
But I have a male friend.
Sure.
And he's a buddy of mine. I have no idea. I don't believe his family's wealthy. I kind of know his family, but he just has never had a real job. And I'm
dude,
like, I don't get it. And it's so specific to Los Angeles. Guy, in New York, we never had a friend with, how does that dude make a living?
Yeah.
Well, I knew some guys that had no-show jobs.
That's different. We knew how they made a living. They didn't show up.
But apart from that little slice of humanity, yes, people had jobs. You knew what they did. It was an understandable income that they had, which resulted in the lifestyle they led. You're right. Out here, who knows what people do, but there's so many guys driving Bentleys.
Yeah.
And they're living
pyramid
in a
schemes. All pyramid schemes.
Does that make, you know what? This is a great segue. Does that make it hard for, and you know, if you don't want to personalize to yourself, you don't have to, but for any woman in L.A.,
yeah.
To know what a guy really has to offer? Because as Kai said, I know a guy that drives, you know, a Bentley and he lives in an apartment building.
Yes and no, right? I think prior to my current situation, which we shall not name.
I signed an NDA.
Thank you so much.
I didn't.
I prided on myself on not really caring all that much, just because we're, and I'm from here, so it's a little different because you have all the shitty people that aren't from here that come here. I think status is a huge thing and the way you can be deceived by it. So it's like a weird exchange. So I don't know. I think there are a lot of people that feel like, which I think is so weird. Like, they'll spend so much money on their car, but they'll live in an apartment.
Right.
I'm like, why care, man? Like, if anything, my car I've had since college, and I'm completely okay with that. Like, as long as it's clean and it works, then, and I get it, like, serviced, then it's fine. But people are so weird at thinking that that matters. And for the people that it does matter are usually the shittier people, so they just attract each other. So I'm like, go have fun.
Yeah, it is, look, it's a very strange thing. In New York, people would brag about their actual job. I am now VP at this marketing firm, or I'm now a senior executive at this finance firm. Here they brag about the weirdest things. I was at a birthday party Saturday night, and the birthday host comes from a very wealthy family. But we're a bunch of guys, and one of the guys we were with was bragging about the watch he just bought.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, my God, you got to check this watch out. He goes, here, this is L.A. Here I have it set for London. And I'm like, why? Do you go to London?
Yeah.
Do you know anybody in London?
No.
He's like, no, but it's cool. I could tell you what time like the British Open is today. I'm like, okay, we're a bunch of guys. Why are you bragging to me about the watch you
purchased? And LA is such a materialistic place. So it's like they feel like their worth and their success and their identity is in the objects that they can afford, which I can, to a degree, it's like when you're self, I feel like people who are self-made don't act like that. And that's what's weird. I don't know.
Most times they don't. A lot of people, who are talking about having the watch and saying, look at me, I have the watch. They're looking for they're looking for their own validation through the eyes of others.
Yeah.
And I can tell you that's exactly the wrong way to do it.
Yeah.
As we all know here, you have to look within to find satisfaction, peace, contentment, whatever it is you're looking for. If a stranger has to tell you, oh, what a great watch, you must be a great guy.
Yeah.
If that's what works for you, there's something terribly missing in you.
It's interesting what you said is you said, you know, here I am. My grandmother used to impart on me as when I was growing up, because I was always an outgoing kid, like very outgoing kid. She's like, Ralph, stop being the guy that walks into the party and says, here I am, and start being the guy that walks into the party and says, oh, there you are.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and so she always tried to put that into me, that be more interested in people than trying to be interesting to people.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, absolutely. I just came from we know that one.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a good person, if you're a good, decent person, people are going to find that out about you. You don't have to tell them about you. So, which means there's hope for Ralph.
Right.
We may at some point find that spark of decency and say you're a good guy.
You know, it's interesting. Today on the radio, they were talking about this situation I'm going to bring up, but I finally understood what real wealth is about. And they were talking about Jeff Bezos tomorrow taking off to go into outer space with three people.
Oh, geez.
And those that signed up for this, by the way, this is very exciting that actual citizens are going to outer space. I don't know if it's as exciting as when you grew up, you know, with the Wright brothers, Kai, but for me, this is very exciting. So when we talk about this,
See?
Yeah, I got it.
The space flight.
I got the joke.
The reasons to associate with him, they shrink.
Yeah.
So most people, they expand with him, it shrinks.
So okay, this is an example of actual wealth. So Bezos, for the founding flight, charged $28 million for this $11 million flight. And most of it was going to charity. But if you wanted to be on the founding flight, it was $28 million. One of the people that signed up for the founding flight at $28 million had to cancel this morning. He had a scheduling conflict.
What?
So then Bezos switched him out with this 18-year-old kid who was going to make, you know, the youngest kid ever in space.
The Dutch kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How wealthy do you have to be that you have a scheduling conflict and have to cancel a $28 million flight?
Let me ask it differently, or say it. When you are that wealthy, you can have a scheduling conflict.
Yeah. That's exactly what Bezos said, because he was being interviewed, and Neil Cavuto said to him, says, who has a scheduling conflict when you pay $28 million for a flight? He goes, if you can afford $28 million for a flight, you can have a scheduling conflict.
True.
That's precisely correct.
I haven't researched this at all, so I haven't even... Right. I mean, I saw a little bit of it like on social media and just haven't read the articles about it. But do they have to physically be trained in order to endure?
This is what's wild. That because they were talking to I forget which astronaut they were talking to, and his training was 2 years prior just to understand the space shuttle, and then 18 months specific to the space shuttle.
Physical.
So it was basically 3.5 years.
Wait a second. Who's training?
The astronauts back with the space shuttle days.
Oh, with the I thought you were talking about the Bezos crew.
No.
That wasn't 2 years.
No. This is the actual astronaut. It was three and a half years.
Yes.
No training whatsoever for the Bezos crew because the plane is 100% automated.
Uh-huh.
No one is flying it. No one's capable of flying it.
For your body to handle space, like
they have decompressed.
This is a bad movie waiting to happen. All you got to do is make this a reality show, put it on MTV, and MTV's back.
Well, I thought you would say MTV would be back if they put music on MTV.
Well, yeah, but they. I know. Trust me, we all miss that. We all miss it.
Music television having music
on it. Yeah, no more.
So they're taking off from Dallas tomorrow. It'll be an 11-minute flight. Richard Branson went to 56 miles. They're going to 66 miles. It's called suborbital. And
at 66, I think you're orbital. Branson went to suborbital.
Okay. I thought they said it was suborbital. Anyway, they'll be there for 3 minutes before coming back down. Or whatever it takes up and come down, it'll actually be 3 minutes in space.
Think of it as a very long elevator ride with some weightlessness at the top.
I think it's exciting that actual citizens are going.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know. You couldn't pay me to do that.
Oh, I would never do it.
Yeah, ever. ever. I have no interest in being, my ashes, throw them to the moon. Peace out, guys. But, not as, a human. I'm good.
Would you go if you were invited?
Sure.
Get out of here, Kai. Yeah. Of course you would. Yeah.
I would.
That's crazy.
I couldn't do it.
Now, I would have to check with Central Command to see if I had the green light.
Central Command being Kate?
Being Kate.
Yeah, of course. She's going to say no. I can't imagine her saying yes.
Left to my own device. I think that would be a wonderful thing to do.
Sure.
I don't know.
I see every bad space movie where everything bad happening.
I don't like being on a boat and I can't see land.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I understand that.
That's just me. Being on a boat and you can't see land, not exciting to me. It's kind of scary.
Yeah. That's nuts.
You've been on a cruise, Kai?
No, but I don't think it would bother me whatsoever.
Really? Yeah. You never saw the Titanic, huh?
Now, let's talk about the perils of flying.
Yeah.
I don't mind flying. I know some people do.
I do.
You're not a good flyer?
I have over 1,000,000 miles in the air. I've flown a lot over the course of my life, and both short hops, international flights, national flights, coastal, blah blah blah, the whole nine yards. I don't like being in the air.
Has anything ever weird ever happened because you've been on so many flights?
Yeah, well, nothing really special, but we've had our fair share of terrific turbulence.
But no John McClane moments.
No John McClane moments.
Turbulence is terrifying.
Is there anything you're afraid to do as far as the travel, boats, planes, balloons, space, obviously?
Well, yes. There's a few things. Well, one, I am claustrophobic in general. So, like, the idea of being, like, in a submarine.
That'd freak you out?
It would, only because of pressure. I feel like I would feel very constricted. I would do it, though. The huge thing is I've always been terrified of heights, but that's also why I went rock climbing before, was to try to, like, overcome that.
And that work?
It helped a lot. Also, I'm just, like, naturally really good at it just from being athletic. Although I can say I don't really have an interest to, like, tear my hands up and, like, climb rocks. It's kind of dumb. But and my mom hated it. Oh, my God, she hated it so much. But I was talking to my friend about it and jumping out of a plane. My dad just did it recently for his first time with my uncle. I'm so scared. Well, no, that's the thing. I'm so scared of that.
I don't think I could do that.
I was talking to my dad about it, and because I'm so scared of it, my friend Sean, because I was scared of guns for other reasons, but I learned how to shoot a gun, and I went to a gun range, and it was, like, very empowering. I've done it multiple times now, and I was like, that was really cool. I should do more things that scare me and try to conquer them because I feel very empowered. And my friend Sean was like, you should jump out of a plane next. And I'm like, at the time, because I was, like, riding endorphins of, like, I don't care about my life anymore, why not? I was like, that would be a really great idea. But the happier I become, I'm like, I'm okay with living. I'm pretty good with it.
Have you ever did paragliding or hang gliding?
No. I have one time when I was in Miss California, we did this weird TV show competition between Miss California girls and play boy models. And there was this reality show they were trying to pitch. It was so annoying that I had to do it. And it was a competition-based show. And one was this obstacle course athletic thing that I actually won. But I had to go zip lining through it and, like, climb this crazy course and do all this stuff. And the zip lining thing was one thing that I had never done before until I had to do it. And it was a lot of fun.
I've never zip lined.
I haven't, but there's a reason. There's a weight limitation.
Okay.
Really?
I'm teasing.
Oh, yeah. I was like, what?
Go back to the Miss. You were Miss California?
I was
you,
Miss Encino, USA.
Is that? I've known you for how long?
I don't go around saying it. Yeah.
10 years?
Eight.
I've never known that.
Yeah, I was Miss Encino, USA. I could have. I got invited to compete again, and I just chose not to because it was. I did it for reasons for myself, because at the time I was trying to figure out how I felt about myself as a woman, and, like, what a better way to do that than a pageant with a whole bunch of crazy women where it's just, like, you're flaunting your whatever you have and your intellect. Because that one is not based off of a talent like the America system is. It's based off of, like, your interview and your bikini contest. it was so annoying. Like, my big thing was my hair was straight. I straightened my hair for the thing. I didn't, like, curl it and make it all big. And, like, that was a huge mistake that I made. And I'm just like, God, I can't do this.
Well, all pageants have their Texas roots.
I know. And then, yeah, I know. And then all the girls were just, I made some really good friends from it. But I also, there were just some crazy, insane people. Wow. And I was the only one who ate food. That's, like, what I noticed. It was so funny. I felt like I was being set up. We were at the buffet the day before. And I'm, like, eating food. I'm looking around. I'm like, no one's eating. I'm like, because they don't want to be bloated. I'm just like, you guys suck.
So you didn't have to use a talent at all?
Not in America, you do. My aunt, her and my uncle just got married. She was Miss, I'm going to say something wrong, either Kentucky, like America. And her talent, she's like an amazing pianist. So that was like her talent. She actually helped train me for a Miss California.
So if you had to choose a talent, would it have been the banjo?
No, I'm not good enough.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'd have to be like Steve Martin for people to be like wowed, you know? Like, especially because there's like America's Got Talent.
You could have done like a banjo comedy thing.
And just been bad at it, yeah, I guess. I don't know. I'd have to really figure that out because I don't know what live thing I could do, because all of the things that I, besides acting, and I'm like, who wants to see that in a like a contest that,
by
like
the
that.
Way, that's awful. And I'm just being honest.
People like, I'm going to do a monologue and make you cry. Like, I can, but that's not what I would want to do.
No.
And, like, the other things that I do are all isolated things I would do at home, like drawing. Like, I'm not going to draw a picture in front of people. So I don't know. I'll just sit and stare at everyone.
That's right. I'm a great mime.
Yeah. 100%. But, yeah, it was fun.
Hey, it's Sam, if you're listening, my program director, I have an idea for another podcast, Mimes on Mime. It would just be an hour of silence, but people can call in. and they wouldn't get picked up.
There you go.
That'd be a great show. There's a lot of people that like mimes.
I don't know if any of recent. David Bowie liked mimes. Is how he started. He was a practicing mime. That's his whole act.
Is that right?
Yeah. He actually was a mime.
I had no idea.
Mm-hmm. He was a mime.
I had no idea of that either.
Ziggy Stardust was based in it.
I guess you like David Bowie.
I love David Bowie.
What's, if you had to a go-to song, gun to your head, one you're going to listen to the rest of your life?
Oh, so I change every year since I was six. I always have a new favorite song. But like as an adult person who's gone through like horrible heartbreak in life, the song Heroes will forever be like the tune that is my life track song. It's just so good.
So let's see if you're a true Bowie fan. If there was, and there's only true fans, whether you're Bowie, Beatles, Springsteen, there's always one song you wish your hero didn't do. Is there a Bowie song you just wish he didn't do?
I wouldn't say he couldn't do anything. The joke is that his bad album is Tin Machine, and like everyone loathes Tin Machine. I even like Heathen. I like his soundtrack stuff. Like the Labyrinth soundtrack is insane. I dig it all day long. But Tin Machine in general is just a very weird album, so it doesn't make a lot of sense. Even his first album, he has this song called Laughing Gnome where he does a gnome's voice, and he literally, like, the chorus is like, ha, 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 he, 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 I'm a laughing gnome and you can't catch me.
That's funny.
And he's, like, a legitimate, like, dude doing this song. It's, like, not for children. He's just on drugs, and he's just like, this is what you get.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think there is. I love him too much.
You love him too much.
For him to do wrong. But the joke is that Tin Machine is the bad album, which I agree with.
Who would have turned you on to Bowie? Because I'm thinking of you.
Literally no one. That's what's crazy is I remember being a six-year-old and there was a song that came on. My mom said I used to do this a lot. I did it with the Beach Boys. That was my first favorite band in the world. And I used to make everyone be quiet so I could listen to their harmonies. But there was a song that came on. And I remember being six and asking who it was, and my mom wasn't sure. And someone told me, I think my mom was like, oh, I was like David Bowie, but it was Ziggy Stardust stuff.
Right.
And then I got into it like a little bit because I asked to listen to it, like my grandma's house or something. And then I saw the movie The Labyrinth as a little kid, and I was like, this guy is really cool. Let me learn more about him. And then it was like, I was gone.
Did you ever see the duet he did? It was a Christmas song, I think.
Yeah, with Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
What a great
drummer
duet.
Boy.
Yep. That's a wonderful version.
That is, it's one of my favorite versions ever. And going into it, I wasn't sure how they were going to pull it off. First of all, they sing at different octaves.
They do, and they also are just socially, like one's very old school and one was not at all. So it was like, you could see like them kind of sizing each other up to see if they would get along, and then they just kind of matched each other and found like a commonality, which was cool.
No, it was what a great, great rendition of that song.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, his last album that he made, he knew he was dying of cancer. So it's a really sad album, but his voice is so interesting because it just changes throughout the years, but he manages to write music for the most part throughout the 60s, 70s, and 80s to like what was hip and cool. And so that's why he has like such a crazy career.
Oh, he was a pop guy in the 60s that transitioned to Studio 54 in the 70s seamlessly.
Yeah, he was a horrible father when he was young and also a horrible partner. But he is a tortured soul and I love him. I hope everyone knows that.
Now they do.
Yeah, his name was Davy Jones, was his real name.
But the monkeys had it first?
Yes, and so he tried to...
I think I knew that.
Yeah,
I did know that.
Yeah, and he was trying to be threatening, so the name Bowie is because of Bowie knife. I was like, well...
Sam Bowie.
Yeah, I was like, kind of.
But actually, isn't that pronounced Bowie?
It was Jim Bowie, and it's a Bowie knife.
Right. Well... He's English, so I don't know. Maybe it, the accent was different.
All right. Well, it's good to have you back here, Victorian House. You're not leaving us anytime soon, are you?
Unless I'm shooting something.
There we go. She's too popular, Kai.
Hopefully, if I do shoot something, you know.
I'm delighted she's back.
Thank you.
These are big shoes to fill.
No.
And I don't pretend that I fill them.
No, you do.
I was a placeholder.
No,
best.
You're not. Yes. Not in my heart, you aren't. Nope. Not at all.
Explain to me what your experience was, because you came in here knowing nothing. I don't mean knowing nothing of what Victoria and I do. But you came in here experiencing that. What was your experience like for the last 3 weeks?
It's been fun. Although I have to tell the story of the first time I was on the show.
Oh, yeah, please.
Excuse me. So Ralph asks me a few days ahead of time, and off the top of my head, I say, sure. I run into him a day or so later, and I say, what are we talking about? He says, I don't know. We meet downstairs just to reconnoiter a half hour before the show starts, and yeah. I said, what are we talking about? He said, I don't know.
That's how Ralph rolls.
Now we're sitting up here, and it's 5 or 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes before the podcast starts, and I forget the Matthew, the guest, and Ralph looks and says, you know, Matthew, you're trying to break into business. Kai, you've had a business. Why don't we talk about entrepreneurship? Fine. The only good news in this story is that before the show started, I finally found out what we were going to be talking about. But it's been that kind of free form, catch-as-catch-can format. What makes this work, and you know, is him.
Yeah, 100%.
He guides. He takes where he wants it to go.
Sure.
He doesn't do all the talking. He lets the guests talk, the co-hosts talk. It's a wonderful. I've had a wonderful time.
That's great.
And if you're ever out of town again,
please. I need you.
My fee is going up.
Is it?
I'll
pay you twice or nothing.
Demand.
Precisely. Yeah. I want twice as much as I.
That's awesome.
But it's been great fun, and thank you for thinking of me. But welcome back, because
you are
the second heart of the show.
I mean, I never. To be fair, I have no idea what's happening 90% of the time.
No, but that's what keeps it fresh. Otherwise, it becomes stale and it looks rote. And, you know, we're just saying things that we talked about downstairs or in the bar. I just rather come in. I have a couple of topics in my head. And if it goes that way, it goes that way.
Yeah.
Like for example, tonight what I wanted to ask you, and just to show how insane Los Angeles is, you're going to be doing a stage show or stage rehearsals with masks on.
Yeah, to be fair, I haven't talked to the board of our theater department. I am the producer of our black box space, so we haven't had any shows upstairs yet.
What does black box space mean?
It's a smaller stage, essentially, so there's less seats in it, and it's all painted black. So it's usually minimal stage dressing, and the context of the plays that go up are very intimate. Where on a big theater, you can get away with bigger shows and things. And a black box, you have like a smaller cast, and it's usually like a drama or something.
I've done comedies in black boxes.
Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, it just depends. I mean,
it's not easy, but I've done comedies in black boxes.
Yes, it's not. I mean, my play was a comedy drama, and I did it. I wrote it to happen in a black box. Usually classes and stuff, like theater classes, take place in them. But yeah, so I'm now the producer of that space, so I have to like figure out what we're going to be doing. I haven't talked to them yet, but they've been doing a main stage show at my theater company, The Loft. It's my friend Adam actually co-wrote it and directed it. It's called Code Pink. It's about nurses. It's really amazing. They've been in their run, so they didn't have to have masks, and this mandate came out. Now, I know for a fact all of the audience members have to wear masks. I don't know about the performers yet.
First of all, it won't work for a couple of reasons.
Yeah.
Two is facial expressions are so important on stage. And you have to have the back of the house be able to understand what is being said.
Yeah.
Kai, I've been at a bar, and I don't understand the bartender
with
a mask on.
It's hard. Yeah, it's really hard. I do know everyone except for everyone that's a current company member in this play. Like, everyone in this play I know is vaccinated. So I think they can get away with that. They're like, okay, everyone in the play is vaccinated, so the people on stage don't have to wear them. I don't know if this is the rule, but everyone in the audience, because they don't know, they can't ask you if you're vaccinated or not. They all have to wear masks, regardless of vaccinating status.
And I get that. Those are the rules. You choose to follow rules. You choose not to. I'm not here to tell you what to do. But this is what gets me. We want to follow science, correct?
Yeah.
The whole idea behind the vaccination was the promise, get vaccinated, you'll live a normal life. Kids will go back to school.
Sure.
You take your mask off. You go play in the park. You go have a cocktail, whatever you want to do, because you've been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
They never said... Kai, you get vaccinated, but Victoria, if you don't, Kai, your lifestyle doesn't change.
Yeah, I think they probably didn't think that this was going to happen.
There's no reason for it to happen. If you believe in science,
sure,
not to get argumentative,
yeah,
and you've been fully vaccinated as Kai has been, Kai should have no fear if I am not vaccinated because he's been fully vaccinated.
The problem is that the variant, right? So in the same science is saying that the non-vaccinated person is now creating different variants in strands of this virus because they're not vaccinated. And it could potentially, on certain vaccinations, screw up the people who got the vaccination. So if everyone was vaccinated, we wouldn't have a problem.
Kai?
Wow, there's a lot to talk about. An awful lot. And Ralph and I tend to think almost identical.
I know.
Let's talk about the current surge with the so-called Delta variant.
Sure.
Here's what we know. And that's not to say that what we know today won't change tomorrow. But
yeah.
here's what we know today. Number one, very...
Get up on the mic a little bit.
Very, very few people die from this.
Mm-hmm.
Very few. The people who get it are almost 100%. It's around 95% are the unvaccinated parts of the population.
Yeah, so the Delta variant, this is what we're talking about.
Right. If the Delta variant. So if you've been vaccinated,
mm-hmm.
and let's say also you're not in the otherwise high-risk group, which science has told us and we know from almost 17 months of dealing with this now,
yeah.
are generally older people, but even younger people with one or more underlying conditions.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't fall into those subsets, you ought not to be under any mandate from any health department anywhere to wear a mask. I'm not saying you won't have a problem, but if you do have a problem, it looks like it's going to be a mild one with a quick recovery, with a very low mortality rate. We seem to be ringing an alarm bell again.
Yeah.
Without a fire.
Yeah, I mean, I'm torn as a person who got vaccinated and is more than happy to wear a mask all day long. I'm like, great, I'll wear a mask. When I'm at my normal job, I'll wear a mask, right?
Your choice?
Yeah, and well, that's...
Let me interrupt just for a moment. If you want to wear a mask,
sure.
God bless.
That's your choice?
If that makes you feel more comfortable, safer, well, I encourage you to wear it. If you want to self-isolate,
sure.
Self-isolate. If you want to social distance. If you want to observe any of the protocols that yeah. have been introduced into our lives since 16, 17 months ago, you should do that. But don't force me to do those things without a scientific basis for the formation of that mandate or that order.
I mean, the reason why I wear a mask is not so I don't get sick. It's literally so I don't get other people sick. That's the way I think about it. I am, however, going forward with the Delta variant, I know very little about. And when I heard the mask mandate was coming back, I don't care about wearing a mask. At the end of the day, I'm like, if that is the thing I have to do to get through this situation, I'll wear a mask all day long. But when it gets a little bit trickier for me in my mind when I think about the theater and what the theater is supposed to do in this point, because I'm like, okay, well, if the whole cast is vaccinated, why do they have to wear a mask? I can understand the audience, sure. If you're in the audience, fine, if we want to do that. Or if you're, you know, I have to now in a restaurant as a worker, like, okay. But, like, that's where it gets tricky and weird to me, because now we're going back to a place where it's like, how can this theater operate?
And by the way, I believe in science.
Yeah.
And the fact that you're fully vaccinated, you're not going to get anybody else sick.
No, I mean, I was just with my grandmother. It's like, I understand that. I do know a couple of people who are vaccinated that got the Delta variant, and they're just really sick, and it's like they have COVID. So I'm like, okay. It's just confusing. It's a confusing time, and I don't try to say I know all of the right answers, because I feel like that's just a weird way to live my own life personally. I can't really operate that way. So if it's a minimal thing, and for me, wearing a mask is a very minimal thing. I'm like, I'll wear a mask because at least I'm happy that we're open. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and by the way, I have no problem with anybody sure. that wants to do that. The way I look at it, because of the vaccination, which we're very fortunate to have,
yeah.
And that they're... In California, by the way, the latest numbers are nearly 90%. 88% of all Californians over the age of 65 mm-hmm. are vaccinated.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
88%, which is the highest risk group in the country. So at that level,
yeah.
that's absolutely herd immunity at 65 and over.
Yeah.
The people most vulnerable have in all likelihood reached herd immunity.
Sure, okay.
So for the younger ones, and I'm not, maybe I am discounting it a little bit, we're moving into flu-like territory.
Yeah.
So you get the Delta variant and you've been vaccinated, like your friend just did. It's more likely going to be a bad flu. They're not going to be in a hospital for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know how long, because the mask thing came back. So it's like, I don't really know what will be happening.
Yeah, which is really interesting because in our county of Los Angeles, the sheriff, Antonio Villanueva, has said he's not enforcing it because it's not based on science.
Is it only this county that was trying to enforce it? Nowhere else in the United States?
No, I can't say for the United States. Nowhere else in California.
Oh, okay.
I think in California, L.A. County is the only one who reintroduced the,
that is correct.
The mask mandate.
Oh, okay.
So it's not in Orange County. Okay. It's not in San Diego County.
Okay.
Kern County, Antelope Valley. And Pasadena has opted out because they have their own health department.
What about New York? I mean, we...
New York has no mask mandate.
Because New York and here are the two places that were, like, the worst... Because of our population in the city, right?
I actually, on a population basis, I think it was New York and Michigan. I think LA was third or fourth. But New York does not have a mask mandate for inside at all.
Yeah, because then it begs the difference, too. It's like when you travel.
Right.
Right? Well, there's no quarantine. Like how someone comes from New York and they come here.
For me, everything's
messy.
For me, everything's about common sense. You want people to get vaccinated, I would assume.
Yes.
Correct? So if you want people to get vaccinated...
If your health permits it.
If your health permits it.
Yeah. I don't want people
then
to
the
go...
Then the messaging must be, please get vaccinated so you can live a normal life.
Yeah.
Not get vaccinated, but still live within restrictions.
Yeah. They were trying to do incentives like lottery stuff.
And free booze.
It was crazy.
Which I had terrific problems with, by the way.
On the microphone there, Mr. Yeah.
Terrific problems with lottery, giving people...
Yeah, I was like, why wasn't I put in the lottery when I did it? That was my main thing.
And what a legitimate question that is, by the way.
But my point is it's mixed messaging.
Yes.
If you want people to get vaccinated, then the message has to be once you get vaccinated, fully vaccinated, you're free to live. Go. What was that commercial? You're free to travel around the country, Southwest commercial.
Yeah.
It has to be that way again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if we say no, get vaccinated, but still live within restrictions, people are going to say, because of logic, then why get vaccinated?
Sure. Yeah, it's confusing. And definitely there was a moment where I felt like, I was like, okay, why did I? I mean, I know why I did.
Right.
For my own reasons and stuff, but in my life and my career and things, and also my grandmother. My grandfather passed away from COVID, so it's like I don't want to, you know, I have a personal bond to it, but...
Your grandfather was very early, if I recall, in the first couple of months.
That's my other grand... Oh, you mean my... So he passed away in December. So it was kind of, I guess, like in the middle, somewhere in there. I mean, he passed away right after Christmas. He got sick from a student, not Kenny.
Okay.
And my grandfather Mars, the Italian drummer. He got sick from a student that gave it to him.
Okay. Because
he was still teaching, and that was in Pittsburgh.
But Kenny died early.
He didn't die from COVID.
Oh, he didn't. Oh, no. Okay.
It was natural.
Oh, it was natural. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he has no COVID thing. They did a CMT thing where they like tried to do a benefit for COVID because that was happening simultaneously.
And here's what's going to happen eventually anyway. Therapeutics are going to take over from vaccinations anyway. You're probably too young to remember it, but you are a student of history, so you'll be well aware of what we went through with the HIV pandemic of the late 70s, early 80s. People aren't aware of how many people still die from HIV.
Yeah, a ton.
However, the vast majority now live with it.
Well, they created medication that allowed them to live.
The therapeutics.
Yeah, and they're trying to find a cure. My dad was actually talking to me about they were trying to find a cure based off of the DNA from people who survived the plague.
Right.
They're finding cures in their DNA, and English people that survived the bubonic plague have the same kind of variant that allows them to survive HIV. Right. I was like, that's really interesting.
Right. So media hysteria is always about death.
Sure.
So when we had no therapeutics to combat with the HIV virus, people were dying in droves. Mm-hmm. And so that was hysteria. Now people contract HIV, but they live with it for their lives because of therapeutics. We're going to be that way with COVID eventually. People are going to stop dying. And people will just get it every year, and it'll be they'll be sick.
But it's not a viral thing. That's the difference.
HIV stopping a death sentence.
No, it's not about the... Yes, you're correct. Well, they're both viruses.
Well, yeah, but
the transmission is different.
Forever, and one's like you get it and it goes away.
Correct, but it's the death that scared everybody. The 600,000 Americans that died, which caused this hysteria. I said to Kai earlier this afternoon, school-aged children were never in danger, yet we closed schools.
Yeah, I think it's because the children are like petri dishes, and they give it to their parents, and that's why schools.
They don't even transition. They don't even transmit it. If you look at the studies, children are. It's like the flu. Actually, the flu is as bad or equal to and we never close schools for the flu.
I mean, I don't know. I don't. Yeah,
it's all about death. And, and the deaths were horrific, and, and they really hit the most vulnerable, those that were sick and those that were elderly.
Yeah.
So it grabbed the headlines. Once we beat the death sentence for COVID, it'll fade. And then people are like, oh, yeah, I got COVID this September.
Sure.
You know, and that's where we're going to be.
Without knowing, and who knows at this point, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if in the future we have a life where on an annual basis you have a flu season. Mm-hmm. You have a COVID or a COVID variant season. And yes, some people die from the flu. Some people are going to die from COVID or a COVID variant.
Yeah.
But as a society, as a world, we have to learn how to live with this in some manner that doesn't ever end the economy and cause unintended damage and consequences on a scale unknown before.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2015, what was it, in the United States, 35,000, 40,000 people died from the flu.
Every year, it's between 20 and 60,000 people, and every once in a while, there'll be a particularly virulent strain, and it'll be 80 or 90,000 people, and that's not to diminish 20,000 deaths. That's a horrific thing. But as society, we have learned to live with that.
Sure.
We now know better than we did 20, 30, 40 years ago that if you have the flu, don't go to work. When I was a young man, if you were sick, you were expected to go to work, sick or not.
I mean, that's how it's unfortunately with me 90% of the time. So, well, because mine is COVID, obviously.
Well, because you care for yourself. I mean, and I don't mean like healthcare, but financially care for yourself.
Well, yes. And also, there is no one that will come in for me if I'm like sick on a Saturday. Now I have Katie. Shout out to Katie, wherever you are.
You could always give Kai a key. He's there more than anybody else.
Could you imagine, Kai?
No, because like, there's a couple other guys who are there a lot more than
me. Yeah,
Who's there more than you?
Well, I don't want to talk about
other people. I could. I can tell you after.
There's no NDAs on that. Come on.
I mean, they're all our friends.
If you look at the total hours a week, you're there more than me.
Yeah. I mean, I could tell you.
Okay, so I am one of those people.
Yeah, it's you. Right. It's you, Ralph. We signed an NDA to not say it's you. That's who it is.
I guess I am kind of there. Well, because here's the thing.
You're not there every day. I know I'm not there every day.
I am not there every day, but my hours that I am there are long.
Sure.
You know, I'll get there at 4 in the afternoon and not leave till 2 in the morning.
Jesus Christ.
That's a long shift.
The moment I'm gone, it's like it's funny because someone made a joke about that. Like the girls are like, well, when you do your paperwork, it only takes you like 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, one, because I know what I'm doing, and two, because when I'm done, I'm done. And I go home.
There you go.
I'm like, I'm not like get your shit together, guys.
All righty. So, look, we want to thank Angela Marsden, Pineapple Hill Saloon. What a great little neighborhood joint that is. Fully open. Go in there for a patty melt, some wings.
Wings. Oh, I want them so bad.
Brought Kai and his better half, Kate, there for the very first time for the soccer game.
Good.
Oh, she got tater tots. I love tater tots.
I do, too.
And
I'm so hungry.
It's over there on Moore Park and Van Nuys Boulevard behind the old In-N-Out Burger. But don't go there. Go to the Pineapple Hill Saloon. Kai, thank you for your 3 and 4 week stint.
You're awesome,
Kai. Okay, Boomer. What a pleasure it was having you here. We wanted to give you a little send-off with Victoria, and hopefully you'll be back when she's off doing bigger and better things than OK Boomer.
You can also just hang out with us, Kai.
You can always hang out with us. Victoria, thank you for coming back.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So here's your job plan, Victoria. For the next 3 or 4 weeks, you are in charge of seating a guest.
That's great. I already got one for next week.
There you go. So... all right, anything else? Kai, you want to say anything before we head out?
Thanks for the opportunity. I had a wonderful time, but I could not be happier that the real co-host is back.
Wow.
What about you, Victoria? Anything on the way out?
You go check out Loft Ensemble, guys. You know, especially if they're going to be struggling with this mask thing, maybe just donate.
What's the website?
Loftensemble.org. It's an organ. It's an org.
Org.
It's an org.
Loftensemble.org.
Yeah, they've got a Venmo. It's Loft Ensemble. If you just want to donate.
Well, next week, Victoria and I will be in the big chairs. Kai, you will be missed, but not forgotten.
I'll be at the club.
There you go.
Sounds like a good plan.
Until next week, everybody, we'll be back.
You're listening to OK Boomer with Ralph Odierna and Victoria Greenwood, only on LA Talk Radio.